So this evening we are going to cover message 3 and 4. And tonight we want to invite Brother Ronnie Chen, who served in Hong Kong, to share with us for these two messages.
Praise the Lord for the churches in the Chicago area. The last time I was here was 38 years ago. And I won't tell you the circumstance in which I came here, but that was one of the most interesting experiences I had in my life. That was during some turmoil in the Lord's recovery, and a whole bunch of us were asked to come. So Brother Dick Taylor, Brother Howard Igashi, and many of us, we got on the plane, we flew over here. I stayed in somebody's home, I don't remember who it was. And once I entered into that brother's home, I got sick. I still remember throwing up, having food poison. And that was my first experience of the church in Chicago. No, you don't have to be sorry, and I'll tell you why. And then, 2 days later, I was just sick the whole time. And 2 days later, the brother said, "Brother Ronnie, it's time to go back to Southern California." So I got well. Got on the plane and flew home. Well, those were the days of some trial and tribulations in the Lord's recovery. And I'm not sure if we did anything positive here. Well, surely I didn't do anything negative. Because I was sick the whole time. Exactly the time I got to Chicago, I got sick. Exactly the time I got out, I got healed. Well, praise the Lord, I didn't get sick today.
Amen.
Our brother mentioned that this is a conference. This is not a training. In a training, we are rather systematic, going over a certain truth or a certain book in the Bible. But as a conference, it is really to convey some burden of the time. And so I remember Brother Nee says that there's four ways that he serves in the church. The first thing he did was literature work, right? The first way that he served was literature work, because literature work will last longer than spoken word. And people can take them anytime. The second way was conferences. That is to share some burden from the Lord for the building up of the church and to meet the need of the church at the time. And number three, Brother Nee conducted trainings. We all know that. And then number four was to build up the local churches. My understanding of that is that help the saints grow in life, help the saints function properly in the church life, and that surely will build up all the local churches. And so now we're here as a conference, or rather the review of a conference. So I would not go through all the points that is in the outline, and thank the Lord for the outline. Amen. So the saints can go home and read it yourself and pray over them and study them. That's wonderful that we have outlines. So I would not go through all the points, but all the main points I will touch upon. I also remember that, maybe close to 40 years ago, I was serving in a small local church out in Southern California. And many times, the whole church would read Brother Lee's messages. And whenever I don't know if you were there, John, but anyway, whenever we get to a portion that is particularly critical, there are some sentences that encapsulates certain truth or certain experience that are very critical, I would encourage the whole church to memorize them. And we would pray read over them, we would memorize them, we would recite them together again and again. I remember one time, Brother Lee asked a question in a meeting. And the whole church, well, there are many churches there, you know, hundreds of saints. This little church was 50 people maybe. All 50 of us just rose up and just recited that paragraph, a short paragraph, that answers Brother Lee's question. And Brother Lee was so happy because we used his own words, which is the best, to answer a question of his. Well, brothers, sisters, I think here is one point that is like that. I encourage you, young brothers and sisters, to memorize it, recite it, pray, read over it, speak to one another on that word. And before I tell you where that is, I will say one other thing. And that is, I remember Brother Lee, I think Jim, John, Bill, you all, you brothers have been with Brother Lee a long time. Brother Lee always repeat things, right? He always repeat things. And recently I was reading some writings by Watchman Nee. Well, I found out that Brother Nee is no less of a repeater. In fact, Brother Nee, to use a Chinese saying, 更长气, it's even more, what do you call it? Repeating, right? And so that's where Brother Lee learned it from. He learned it from Brother Nee. So many times when Brother Lee, before he shares in the meeting, he will review the meeting before and strengthen some of the points. That is not to invade into each other's territory. We have no territory of our own, right? It's all the one ministry. Although many brothers speak, we all say the same thing. So let me go back to the first message that Brother Ken shared. Well, the paragraph that I encourage the young brothers to memorize is Roman numeral 1, at the very beginning of message 1. Shall we read it together? The oneness in the Bible is an all-inclusive oneness for the expression of God as the mystery of godliness to carry out the desire of God's heart. That's what the positive side, right? Let's read it again. The oneness in the Bible is an all-inclusive oneness for the expression of God as the mystery of godliness to carry out the desire of God's heart. Okay, now the negative side. And division is an all-inclusive division for the expression of Satan as the mystery of lawlessness to carrying out the scheme of Satan's plot. Well, I don't think, brothers and sisters, we in the Lord's recovery, although some of us have been around for some years, that we have this concept that oneness is an all-inclusive oneness, right? We all talk about the all-inclusive Christ. We all talk about the all-inclusive Spirit. But we never thought of the all-inclusive oneness. Likewise, neither do we, on the negative side, realize that division is also something rather all-inclusive. In God's eyes, division is not just going down the street and start another Lord's table. Of course, it's terrible. But in God's eye, division is more than that. Right? In God's eyes, division is something that is quite all-inclusive. It includes many, many negative things. Just like oneness on the positive side, being all-inclusive, includes all the blessings of God. Right? Our brother read for us Psalm 133. Well, are you full of the anointing? If you're not, I have a suggestion for you. Where is the anointing? The anointing is in the oneness, in the unity, right? How pleasant it is for brethren, to brothers, to live together in unity. There, right, is where the anointing is. Right? If you're short of the anointing, just be one with the brothers.
Amen.
Right? Pray with the brother. Fellowship with the brother. Right? Be one with the brothers. And there will be the anointing. I remember as a young brother many years ago, you know, young brothers, just maybe sisters are even worse, I don't know. They're always like this, right? They're feeling about, you know. I remember when as a young brother, I figure out how to get the anointing. Left to myself, I'm up and down and up and down, right? I know one way. I can always get the anointing. As a young brother in university, I learned that. That is, go to the meeting. Right? Go to the meeting. That's where the oneness is expressed clearly. And hence, that is where the anointing is. So as a young brother, I never miss a meeting. Tomorrow there's a test, an exam tomorrow. Go to the meeting. Worry about the exam tomorrow. Right? And there, the anointing is. Right? How many of you feel that you are not grown in life enough? We all do, right? Who dare not raise their hand? Right? You need life? You need life, right? Where do you get life? In the oneness. Right? The first verse of Psalm 133 is about the unity, the oneness. What is the third verse about? Right. The blessing of life. Where is the blessing of life? In the oneness. In the meetings. In a church life. Right? I remember John, high school student. Some brothers that I took care of, took care of him. Now you know how young he is or how old I am. Well, so good to see you, Brother John. After so many years, that high school kid, today's still in the recovery. Hallelujah. Well, there must be some life. Otherwise, he won't be sustained until today. Right? Why is he preserved? Why is he preserved in life? Not because John is any good. I knew him from the day one. I saw him came to the first meeting. John is, not much of anything. Just another kid. What sustained him in life? By staying in the church life.
Amen.
Right? That's where life forevermore is resided. So, now you see that the oneness in God's eyes is much richer than what you and I understand it. And hence, brotherly use the word, the all-inclusive oneness.
Amen.
Right? Now let's turn to the opposite side. Well, how about division? Division is also all-inclusive. Let me prove to you how all-inclusive division is. You know, where did division in the Bible start? Babel, right? Babel. Now, Babel, which is the same word as Babylon, right? Babel, at the beginning, was just division. Right? That's all. But at the end of the Bible, what has Babel developed into? It becomes the great Babylon. Right? With so many aspects of it. Chapter 7, you have the religious aspect. And in chapter 18, you have the material aspect. But they are all called Babylon. In God's eyes, Roman Catholicism is division. You know what? In God's eyes, material Babylon is also part of the all-inclusive division. You know, I remember Burley saying something that I never understood. It took me decades to begin to understand. And I still don't know how much I understand. But anyway, Brother Lee used to say that he goes to a shopping center. He said, I feel like going to hell. Remember that? to go to a shopping center, he feels like he'd go to hell. Well, brothers, I have a business. I build shopping centers. One day, I was reading Revelation chapter 18, the material aspect of the Great Babylon. I begin to see what Brother Lee was talking about, right? The world today is full of division, right? Divide and divide and divide and divide. And eventually, now in the world, the thing that people value the most is individualism, right? Especially this country. Oh my, America, land of the free. That's where individualism is taken to the nth degree. What is individualism? It is the ultimate division, right? No, Ken is sitting here, Laura is sitting there. Well, if there's a vote for the presidency, you can't even influence each other. Otherwise, the other party can sue you. Wow. Individualism. Division. Even within a family, they make sure that you are divided. Right? So, in the Bible, you want the blessings? It's in the all-inclusive oneness. On the negative side, all the negative things in the Bible, actually in God's eyes, are part of the all-inclusive division. God could have called Revelation 17 something else other than Babylon, but God called it Babylon, right? That which was division in Genesis, right, eventually became the Great Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18. So let's now, with that fellowship, let's read that point number one again. I hope we can have a deeper appreciation of it. The oneness in the Bible is an all-inclusive oneness for the expression of God. Wait. The oneness is for the expression of God. Once there is a shortage of oneness, there is a shortage of the expression of God. You want to have the expression of God, there must be the oneness, right? So the oneness in the Bible is an all-inclusive oneness for the expression of God. As the mystery of godliness to carry out the desire of God's heart. And division is an all-inclusive division for the expression of Satan as the mystery of lawlessness to carry out the scheme of Satan's plot. Now let's go down to D and read that together. Day by day, we have to move out of ourselves with the evil of division and into the divine us, the triune God, as the blessing of oneness. And we have to remain in him for his corporate expression. If we continually touch the Word and allow the Spirit to touch us day by day, we shall be sanctified by moving of ourselves, our old lodging place, and into the triune God, our new lodging place. Well, praise the Lord that in the Lord's recovery, we see some of the mysterious things. Who in the world today can tell you that oneness is of the triune God alone? Without the triune God, there can never be oneness, right? If Ken, you are not in the triune God, I am not in the triune God, we will be divided. How do you make Ken and I one? The only way is if Ken is in the triune God. And I also am in the triune God. Right? Only in the triune God today, can we be one? Amen. I remember in the 1970s, you brothers will remember, ecumenical movement, Christianity tried to be one, right? And then you have other groups that heard Brother Lee's ministry and tried to be the body of Christ, right? Well, did any one of them make it? None of them made it. Why? Because they did not see what is the oneness, the essence, the nature of the oneness that is in the Bible. The oneness in the Bible is not just to have no problem with each other. That is just the outward manifestation of the real oneness. You don't start there. You end up there. Where do you start? You start by being in the triune God. Right? Is that clear? Well, so don't try to manufacture a oneness. You will never succeed in overturning the fall of man. Right? Don't try to use your old creation to try to perfect the new creation. That is ridiculous. Right? Can we be one? We can never be one. You know, in a sense, I'm very happy to be in Chicago 38 years later, right? I see, right, so many Caucasian saints, some African-American saints, some Chinese saints, some Korean saints, some Spanish-speaking saints. Wonderful. How can we be one? Don't try any other way, but be in the triune God. Right? If you're not enjoying the triune God, we'll never be one. The only way we can be one is if we all enjoy the triune God. Right? The triune God is in us, and we're in the triune God. Then we don't need to try to be one. If you have to try to be one, there's something wrong. You're already not one. Because your trying will not help. Don't try anything except be in the triune God. Right? So, these messages are truly very precious. Right? In the Lord's recovery, the Lord has opened up His word to us. Otherwise, you cannot understand John 17. How do you explain John 17? John 17 talks about we are in the triune God, the triune God is in us, and at the end it says, that you may be perfected into one. Right? That we may be perfected into one. Why is it a perfection? Well, we don't quite live in the triune God that much yet. Right? Once in a while, sometime. Right? So we need to be perfected. But how are you perfected? By trying my best to live with Brother John. That won't work. Right? Brother John, you have to be in the triune God. And I have to be in the triune God, then without trying, we are one. Right? So praise the Lord. This is a main content of the Lord's recovery. Amen. You know, our brother Andrew, who shared this message, said that this is the ordering of these 6 points in 5 messages are quite unusual. We thought that we always start with either triune God or Christ, right? But here, the brothers didn't start there. That is message 3 and 4. Rather, the first point is the oneness. Right? The oneness. The church ground of oneness versus division. Right? You know, there are 5 messages, 5 outlines, but actually there are 6 points. In outline number 4, it is 2 points. Because there's only 5 messages in the conference, so the brothers have to combine 2 points into 1 message. Okay? So the first point is the ground of oneness versus division. The second point, the second outline is on the fullness, the body, the church, the body of Christ, that the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And number 3 is on an all-inclusive Christ as a mystery of God. And then number 4 is, outline number 4 is actually for 2 points. The first point is the all-inclusive spirit. Amen. And the second point is the eternal life. Right? Right. So in outline number 4, that's actually 2 points. The life-giving and compound spirit, that's one point. And then the second one, the divine life in Christ. And then finally, we have the divine revelation of the Word of God. So praise the Lord that we begin with oneness, because this, the oneness is an all-inclusive oneness. And this oneness will bring in all the blessings of God, right? Now let's read Roman numeral 2, the last point, B2. Without the universal aspect, the church is void of content. Without the local aspect,
it is impossible for the church to have any expression and practice. The record concerning the establishment of the church in its locality is consistent throughout the New Testament.
Well, praise the Lord that in the Lord's recovery, we emphasize both the universal aspect, which is the inward reality, the content, the nature of the church. And then we also have the local aspect. And the local aspect is for practice, for expression, for manifestation, right? In John 17, it started with, when it talks about oneness, it's so mysterious. It started by talking about the triune God, being in the triune God, right? And then later it says that the world may see our oneness, right? Oneness is something that is not just of our nature within, but this oneness also has an expression without. Amen. Such that the world can see, right? What are you doing here in Chicago? You are here as the local expression of that oneness, right? Of that universal body of Christ that is expressed physically in time and space in Chicago, right? So in the Lord's recovery, we surely emphasize both aspects. In terms of the content, in terms of the reality, you have message 2. The church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. In this message, I will just call your attention to one word. Just one word. That is in Roman numeral 3. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. The church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all, is the issue of the dispensing of the divine Trinity. Now, which is the word that I want you to concentrate on in this line? Probably you may not pick it up. Right, Brother Jim. It is the word issue. It is the word issue. You probably missed that point. Okay? Let's read it again, one more time. The church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all and in all, is the issue of the dispensing of the triune God, the divine Trinity. Okay. Now, there are ABC, big A, big B, big C, okay? Each of them has this word issue. Let's read that together. A, the church as the body of Christ is the issue of God the Father's dispensing, speaking forth God's eternal purpose. B, the church as the organic body of Christ is the issue of God the Son's dispensing, speaking forth the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose. C, the church as the organic body of Christ is the issue of God the Spirit's dispensing, speaking forth the application of God's accomplished purpose. Well, brothers, sisters, many people today know about the church as the body of Christ. That is good. That is a marvelous revelation that the church is not just a group of saints meeting locality by locality, but it is a group of saints in each locality all having the reality of the body of Christ. right? All having the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So wherever you are, we just counted the local churches on the map just now, 7 in this area, Palatine and Chicago and wherever else. Wherever you are, we have to express the one unique body of Christ, right? Which is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. But how do you become the body of Christ? How do you become the body of Christ? It's not just talking about it, right? How do you have the reality of the body of Christ that the nature, the content is right, which is the triune God in Christ, right? Overflowing in us, but also the expression in oneness, in locality after locality. How do you get that? How do you arrive there? How do you achieve it? Well, that is something, again, that takes revelation, right? How does the body of Christ come into reality, come into practice? The body of Christ is the issue of something, right? Something has to take place, and then an issue will come forth from that, and the issue of that is the body of Christ, is the fullness of the one that fills all in all, right? So what is an issue of? It is the issue of the dispensing of the triune God. If there's no dispensing of the triune God, there can never be the body. There can never be the fullness, right? Brother Lee, I remember one time, told us what is a fullness. Fullness is just riches filled to the brim and overflow. It becomes a fullness, right? Well, how do you have the fullness, the body? You have to have the riches dispensed into you, right? Only by the dispensing of the triune God as the riches of Christ into a group of people. That's why it doesn't matter whether you look like this brother or look like me. Tall and dark skin. I am short and yellow skin. Makes no difference in God's eyes, right? God doesn't care for the outward things. God just cares to dispense himself as the riches of Christ into each one of us. Amen. Right? Then automatically, we will become the fullness. We'll become the body of Christ. Right? So never forget this word, issue. If you want the body of Christ, this is the result. This is the issue of something else. What is that something else? It is the dispensing of the divine Trinity into us. Right? So brothers, sisters, if there's no dispensing, there's no fullness. Right? And hence, there'll be no body of Christ. Conversely, the more there is the dispensing, then the more there will be the reality of the body of Christ among us. Automatically, will become the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Right? So praise the Lord for the dispensing, and praise the Lord for the issue of that dispensing. The issue is the body of Christ will become the fullness of the triune God. Amen?
Amen.
Of course, the key here is how do you get from the dispensing to have the issue. You may say, I enjoy the Lord every day. I call on the Lord every day. I have morning revival every day. How come there's not so much reality of the body of Christ? I don't know how much reality of the body of Christ in the Chicago area. I'm new here, right? Haven't been here in 38 years. So what can I tell? Well, depends on how much dispensing there is. And the more dispensing, the more issue it will have, and hence the more of the body of Christ. So there are many points in these outlines. They are very practical. They can help us to have the issue, right? Well, for example, let's just take one. The last point of message 2, Roman numeral 4. Let's read it together. The dispensing of the divine Trinity to produce the church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all, is accomplished by the transmission of the great power of God toward who believe and to the church. Well, I'm happy to read here that. Let me read it for you. The dispensing of the divine Trinity to produce the church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all, is accomplished. It is accomplished. That's how you get the issue. Amen. Right? You want to know how to have the issue? Well, read on. It's accomplished by the transmission of the great power of God toward us who believe, and the great power to the church. Brothers, sisters, are you daily enjoying the transmission? Are you enjoying the transmission? You may be calling the Lord, but there may be just a little bit of transmission, right? Because you're not exercising your spirit, maybe. If you exercise your spirit, there will be more transmission, right? You know, I teach in a full-time training in Hong Kong. I used to teach, now I don't. What do? I just ask the trainees to read Brother Lee's words. It's not because I'm lazy. Maybe a little bit of that too. But I just don't think I can speak better than Brother Lee. So just get the saints to read. Okay? And you know what? No first year trainees pass the test of reading. They don't know how to read. They read it in a way that gets very little transmission. You know, we always have visitors in our training from various parts of China. You know, they have trainings all over China. And they would come to Hong Kong and, you know, join us for a week. So the serving brothers would just blend them together so that they all sit together. So every time I go to a training class, the seats are all mixed up because you have visitors from here and there, right? But I recognize the names. I look at the names, this one is not from the Hong Kong training. Of course, we make no difference. But I ever ask each of the brothers and sisters to read a paragraph. Let me tell you, none of those who are not from my previous classes can read adequately. Why? Because they're so smart. They read like this. The dispensing of the divine Trinity to produce the church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all, is accomplished by... I said, brothers, can you stop? I'm getting no transmission from your reading. I understand what you're reading. I'm not that smart, but neither am I that dumb. You know, I don't think you can read fast enough such that I don't understand. But that's not the point. The point is not to read. The point is to transmit. Amen. And the point is to receive the transmission. Amen. So I said, brothers, can you read it again? Slowly. With the exercise of the Spirit. Amen. So that we all can have the transmission. You know what? Most of those new trainees can't read it slow enough. So after they read a second time, I said, brothers, can you slow down another 2 times? Oh, they have a hard time. Why? Because they read to understand. They don't read to receive the transmission. Maybe at the third or fourth try, then finally they get a little bit. Then I have to say, brothers, when you read slowly, doesn't mean that you don't exercise your spirit. You don't have to speak fast and loud to exercise your spirit. But please read slowly, but exercise the spirit. Maybe at the fifth time they get it. You know what happened? Amazing. Automatically, whenever they read, the other trainees just, amen. When they read fast, nobody amens. Because they got nothing. They didn't get the transmission. Right? So, don't ever attend my classes. You don't know how to read slow enough. You better practice before you come to my class. Right? Because I'm not interested, Jesus, just to understand these things. I'm interested in the divine elements in these words that are conveyed in these words to be transmitted to me into my spirit as the triune God himself. Right? So one time I remember I was serving somewhere and I asked a brother, dear brother. So he and I were in a car together. I said, brother, do you read the Life Strategy every day? He said, oh, not every day. So I said, how much do you read? He said, well, you know, sometimes I don't read for two days, 3 days. And then on a weekend, I read 3 messages a day. Well, I said, wow, I thought. Well, I said, you know, brother, it's best to read one a day, but at least you're reading, right? Okay. So I said, how fast do you read a message? Well, how long does it take for you to read a message? I said, oh, 15, 20 minutes. And I thought to myself, no wonder, brother, you are what you are. I didn't say it that way. But that was within me. Right? I'm sure that brother is much smarter than I am. But I'm not that dumb. I can finish it in 15, 20 minutes too. But do you get the transmission? Huh? Do you get the transmission? Or am I just reading it to finish reading it? Because I didn't read for the last 3 days, so today I have to finish three. So you read it in 15 minutes, you finish it. How much triune God did you get? I guarantee you, you read it in 15 minutes, you won't get so much triune God. I would much rather take 45 minutes, right, to read slowly, exercising my spirit over the Word of God. Then, my, I got the transmission from the Word of God into my spirit that nourishes me, that enlightens me, that strengthens me, that supplies me. I get the transmission. Right? How does the church come out? How does the body of Christ come out? By the dispensing. How do you get the dispensing? By the transmission. Right? So, if you're right now listening to me, you're not exercising the spirit inwardly, you will get little transmission. I won't say no transmission, but you won't get so much transmission, right? But if you were to exercise the spirit, my, you will get a lot more transmission. Saints, you're going to spend an hour here anyway. Might as well get the best out of it, right? You can sit in a meeting and get little. You can sit in a meeting and get a lot more, right? Which one you choose? Amen. Right? So you have to exercise the spirit. Then you will receive the transmission. Now then here it talks about transmission of the great power. You know, for a long time, Brother Lee doesn't like to touch upon this matter of the power because he's afraid that we got distracted by the outward kind of a power. Right? But on the other hand, I remember very well, Brother Lee says, two kinds of power. One kind is bam, like a bomb, right? Suddenly, miraculously, usually, they are quite destructive. I never forget Brother Lee telling us, he said, you walk on the sidewalk, and in between two stone, pieces of stone, or even in the midst of concrete, you can have a small plant, right, growing that cracks the cement, that cracks the rock, right? You know, yesterday I was in one of my buildings and I saw, wow, on top of the wall, there was a plant up there, about that big. What is it? That is power. What kind of power? Right, that is life power. Right? That can grow anywhere. Right? That can fit into any situation. Brothers, is your heart hard like cement? Or hard like rock? Brothers, sisters, I got good news for you. The life power within us can break through your cement heart. Sisters, the life power within the Word of God, the seed of life, can break open your stony heart. I think many of us have a problem. Every time we read Matthew 13, we are accused, right? We feel bad. Oh, I've stony heart, right? Anybody has no, don't have stony heart, please raise your hand, right? Well, brothers, sisters, you need the transmission of the great power. Amen. That is of life. Amen. The other kind of power that comes miraculously may be able to crack open your heart, but it will absolutely crush it. Right? It is destructive rather than productive. But praise the Lord for the life power that is in the Word of God, right? Planted into our heart. And that life power can break open your stony heart. Right? That is a power that gives life. And this is the great power that he's talking about here. The great power, the transmission of the great power of God toward us who believe. Right? You know, then it talks about the four kinds of power. Resurrection power, ascending power, subjecting power, heading up power. You say, wow, that is powerful. It has nothing to do with me. Because how can I say that I've experienced these four powers? Resurrection power, ascending power, right? Subjecting power, and heading up power. Wow. Too deep. Too much. I can't handle it. Brothers, sisters, you must handle it. What is resurrection power? Huh? What is resurrection power? Resurrection power is just something that rises from your death water. Right? Something that rises up within you. Most of the morning when you get up, we're pretty dead. Once in a great while, we wake up, wow, hallelujah, right? Once in a great while. Most of the time you get up, John, right? Most of the time you get up, you're pretty out of it. Right? Okay. Well, Brother John, you need resurrection power. Right? You need resurrection power that rises above the situation. Let me tell you something. In the Lord's recovery, we know how to tap that resurrection power.
Amen.
Right? Where's the resurrection power? It's in your spirit.
Amen.
You exercise your spirit, right? That resurrection power automatically operates within you. That power automatically rises from within you. Sometimes there are some situations that really get you into your mind. Right? Oh, you can get out of it. In your mind, you just keep going round and round and round and round, right? Surrounding your difficulty. Why did that brother say that to me? That leading brother, doesn't he know I'm just a weak little sister? Why did Brother Jim look at me that way? Oh, you get into your mind. And the longer you stay there, the deader you get. Right? Why did that sister say that to me? As if you're the center of the universe. The sister may not even, doesn't even know that you're listening. And to you, wow. You're out of it for 3 days. Right? Oh Lord, you need the resurrection power. Right? The power that rises within us. You know, some of us are just not used to exercising our spirit. When we pray, we don't exercise our spirit. When we read the word, we don't exercise our spirit. When we read the life study, we don't exercise our spirit. You're not used to exercising your spirit. You read by using your mind. And when you pray, oh Lord, I'm so poor, oh Lord. Right? You don't exercise your spirit. No wonder you don't have the resurrection power. The resurrection power is not in yourself. When you pray like that, oh Lord, I'm so weak, I'm so poor. The more you pray like that, the weaker you become. Why? Because there's no resurrection power. Right? Resurrection power is not in yourself. It's not in your mind. It's in your spirit. Amen. Why don't you go back there and exercise your spirit? Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Learn to praise the Lord. Amen. You're not the center of the universe, so your problem is not the center of the universe. Why don't you just start praising the Lord? Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. You're not your problem is not the center. Jesus is the center. Amen. So why don't you say, amen, Lord Jesus, praise you. Amen. In spite of the fact that I'm so weak, but Jesus is Lord. Amen. Right? You exercise your spirit like that, the Lord is always rising up within you. Amen. You know, I see a lot of young sisters here. You know what? You'd be surprised to hear this. When I was young, I was like a young sister. By that I mean, my emotion is up and down and up and down and up, right? Eventually, in the Lord's recovery, in the church, the brothers say, exercise your spirit. Pray, read the word of God, right? So, we young brothers didn't know better. We just listened to the brothers and begin to learn to exercise our spirit. Amen. You know, I married a very unusual wife. Sister Betty asked me, Sister Betty, over dinner, he said, oh, Brother Ronnie, how's your wife? How's Sister Barbara? Well, let me tell you about my wife. Since she's not here, if she's here, I won't tell you. I have a wife that is amazing. I've been married 34 years, almost 35, not quite as long as you, but still 35 years, okay? You know how many times my wife has cried? 3 times. She cries once every 12 years. When we first got married, I said something wrong to her one day. She was really upset. She cried. That was the first time. Second time, her father died. She cried. The third time, our son in high school at that time, really troublesome. Oh, she cried. 34 and a half years, she cried 3 times. Wow, what a sister, right? Well, the Lord knows. I'm like that. But so the Lord gave me a sister that is like that. You know what? 35 years like that, I'm like that too. How did I become like that? 2 ways. The main way, the main thing, is I learn to exercise my spirit. Amen. Right? Whenever I'm down, what happened? I exercise my spirit, and the resurrection life within just fills up. Amen. Right? And externally, the Lord gave me a wife who is like that. So I have no excuse. My wife is dragging me down. Right? Well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows what we need. Right? But the main thing is that I have to learn to exercise my spirit within. Amen. Stand with your spirit, not your emotion, not your mood, not your feeling. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Your problem, even if it is 10 times bigger, you're still not the center of the universe. And the resurrection power is stronger than your weakness. Don't make your weakness the center of the universe. The resurrection power of Christ within us is stronger than any of our weaknesses. Amen? Amen. You don't even need to go. Well, young brother's not bad, you know. When you're younger, when we were young, we were all like that. So when I see young brothers, I don't do it anymore. But when I see young brothers, I'm quite happy. Sometimes I go to the training before I walk in. Oh, the saints were just, the trainees were singing to the heavens. Very good. Hallelujah. I don't go to the heavens so much anymore, at least not that way. Right? But as young brothers, young sisters, not bad. Learn to exercise your spirit. Right, John? When I was young, I was like that too. We all exercise the spirit together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're in the brothers' house together. Right? So, brothers, sisters, the resurrection power within rises above it all. You know, eventually, when you have experienced something, that which you have experienced, the Lord will use to help others. You know, Isaiah talks about the ascending power, right? You know, some brothers are just mired in the world. Mired in loving the world. I know there are many young brothers here. Outwardly, they are so good. But inwardly, they all have something that drags you to the ground. Right? Some of them, maybe I want to get a PhD. Nothing wrong with that. But if you let that drag you to the ground, then you're short of the ascending power. Right? So young brothers, young sisters, I don't know what is the thing in you, but I know there's something in you because I was once upon young. I have my thing, you have yours. We all have ours, right? That will drag us to the ground. It's just like, what do you call it? Gravitational force. There's this gravitational force that just gravitates you to the earth, right? Well, brothers, we have to deliver ourselves, and we have to learn to transmit that power to others, right? It talks about subjecting power. Subjecting power, you know. There's always some issues in the church. I remember one time I began to serve in this one church. I got into the church, I realized, oh gosh, the younger brothers have a problem with this leading brother, right? Several of these younger brothers, very good brothers, really consecrated brothers, but they just, for some reason, have a problem with this older brother. Well, they all have leprosy, right? They all need to be healed, right? The leprosy needs to be subjected under Christ, right? Well, brothers, when you start serving there, you have to subject the leprosy. You have to have the subjecting power such that the leprosy will be suppressed. What do we do in the church life? That's what we do every day in the church life, right? Saints who cannot get up in the morning to have the morning revival, or cannot get up early enough Lord's Day morning to come to the 10 o'clock meeting. I think that's a common young brothers, sisters problem today, right? They need to rise up. You cannot force them to go. They'll just leave the church. So you have to transmit the resurrection power into them so that they can rise up even literally in the morning to come to the 10 o'clock Lord's table. Right? They have all kinds of problems. Right? You need to transmit the subjecting power to what is the word? To subject the problems, difficulties that is within the saints. I was wondering one time reading the word, I said, how come when the Lord was on earth, there's so many sick people? Have you ever considered that? There was this guy that is, you know, bent, this lady who is bent back, you know, that cannot look up, right? And there's another blind one, another dumb one, right? Another lame one, another leprous one, and another dead one, and another one with fever. Oh gosh. I said, Lord, how come what happened? And the Lord showed me, he said, well, it's the same today. In the church life, isn't that the same? Right? I told you about the leprous one, right? Oh, I met two lepers in the church where I was serving. One, you know, there's two kinds of leprosy. You read Leviticus. Some expresses itself. Some are still somewhat hidden. They were two brothers. One brother, he began to say things. That is the one that the leprosy came out, expressed. The other one, he knows he's not supposed to say anything, so he didn't say anything. But man, you can tell the guy is leprous. Right? As a priest, as a serving one, as a leading one, you have to be able to tell if he or she is leprous. Man, I saw this brother. I said, he's leprous. He doesn't express it, that's all. Right? Well, you need to transmit the power that is within you, that the Lord has worked into you, into those younger brothers. Right? I'm so happy to say, eventually, both of them, amazingly, the leprosy was subjected to the power that they were healed. One of the brothers who spoke a lot outwardly, that the leprosy just grew up, he wrote a letter to this older brother, apologizing. And the brother showed me that letter. I was so happy. Hallelujah. This brother got healed. His leprosy was subjected under the great power that is to the church. Right? So you have to transmit that power to that brother. Right? You know what I did? Not much. All I did was to pray with that brother. That's all. Never touch his leprosy. Don't touch people's leprosy. You touch it, you get it too. Right? Don't touch it. So I just pray with that brother. Over 6 months maybe. Right? Whenever I can, I just, after the meeting, I say, hey brother, let's go and have a drink. And then in my car, I would take him home, and we'll just pray together. That's all. Well, let me tell you what happened in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, somehow, through the meetings, through the prayer, something of the great power has been transmitted to this brother, such that the disease that is in him, the leprosy that is in him, got subjected. They were put under subjection, right? The subjecting power within them overcame the leprosy, right? The other brother, it was obvious that because of this problem of he had with the older brother, inwardly he would just weaken. He would just weaken. He need to rise up with it. He need the resurrection power within him, right? He need the ascending power within him to lift him out of that situation, right? So you know what I did? I just invited myself to his home. He didn't invite me. He's married. So I said, brother, what do you think if I were to come to your home and, you know, just spend some time? He said, oh, good, why don't you come? I'll ask my wife to cook you a meal. I said, oh, good, I'll be happy to eat. Give us more time, right?
Right.
That's all. Of course, not just once, but many times, right? You just spend time with them, right? Don't touch the problem unless you have clear leading from the Lord. Otherwise, you may get yourself into trouble, right? Just transmit the power. You're not conscientious that I'm now transmitting the power. No, 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 no. I have no power. You have no power. None of us have any power, right? It is the Lord within us that is a resurrection power, right? It is He who is the ascending power. It is He who is a subjecting power, right? And eventually, this brother, I just saw him, I watched him. Something happened, I don't know what happened. He just began to rise up. You can see inwardly, he was healed. Inwardly, he was strengthened. Inwardly, there's something negative has gone out of his being. Right? That is great power that God in Christ have promised to transmit to him who believes. And the great power is to the church. If not, brothers, I don't know what you're doing in the church. What are you doing in the church? What are you doing in the church? You should be healing the sick. You should be opening the eyes of the blind. You should be healing the leprous. You should be lowering down the fever of the people. That's what the Lord did. You know, I remember when I was a young man, young brother. I was probably no more than 6 months in Los Angeles. Jim, you were there. Just sitting under this ministry. My, the light began to shine. In fact, great light began to shine. My, I worship the Lord for that light. That light in me lasted 10 years, roughly. My, how did it come? I don't know how it came. I just sat in the meetings. Right? Brother Lee's ministry was full of the divine light. Right? Full of life supply. And just by sitting there, my, that man is speaking. Brother Lee was speaking. The Lord was speaking within. Amen. The word comes out of his mouth. The light from the Lord shines within you. Amen. Right? Otherwise, how would the saints change? I had a problem. As a young man, I had that serious problem. Nobody knew. I would never tell you. I didn't even tell my wife. But I know I have a problem. What happened? I just sit in a meeting, listen to Brother Lee, and when Brother Lee spoke, the Lord began to shine. The Lord began to shine. Every time I come to the meeting, my, I enter into a realm of light. Every time my brother speaks, it seems that in those period of time, several years, whatever Brother Lee speaks, the Lord was speaking the same thing to me. One thing, right? Shining within. Then that aspect of my blindness began to be healed. Right? So what are we doing in the church, brothers? We should be transmitting all that the triune God is as the great power that he has promised that is to the saints. Brothers, when you serve in the church, John, when you serve in Milwaukee, you have to transmit the power, right? Not miraculous, no. It is a life that is within you. That life within you will bring light to others. That life within you will bring healing to others. That life within you will bring uplifting to others, right? That life that is within you will supply others. Then it will accomplish some issue. Right? Something will issue out of that life that is within us. That is, to me, is life within. But once it is transmitted into others, it becomes great power to them. Amen. I surely know what I'm talking about. Because I sat in front of Brother Lee, and my, the Lord's great power in the form of a great light was enveloping me. Right? So that's, brothers, sisters, that's what we need to do in the church life. Right? Otherwise, what are you doing in the church? I know what the Lord did. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. Right? Brother Marty, let's go open the eyes of the blind.
Amen.
You said, I can't do it. I know you can't do it. Neither can I. But nonetheless, we have to transmit the great power.
Amen.
Right? To the young ones. Yeah. I know you can't do it. I can neither. Right? But let's go open their eyes.
Amen.
It's not you. It's not me. Right? What can you do? What can I do? We can do nothing. But we have to trust in the life within that is within us. My, the life power that is within us can heal the sick.
Amen.
A leading brother who says that brother is rebellious is not a good leading brother. What do you talk about? Why do you say it? Doesn't change anything. Why don't you transmit some of that great power that is in your spirit, right? To that brother, they will subject him. They will subdue him. They will subdue the leprosy that is within him.
Amen.
So don't ever say, that brother is rebellious. That sister is rebellious. Oh, there's some places I go, I hear that. As if you're the only one that is not rebellious. They may not be even rebellious against the Lord. Maybe you just don't like him, that's all. But whatever it is, why don't you minister some of the great power
Amen.
That is within the life germ within you, right?
Amen.
To the saints, such that they'll be healed, such that they'll be subdued, right? Don't try to outwardly subdue anyone. Let the life within you that you minister, you share, you transmit, right? That life is the divine resurrected life of Christ.
Amen.
And that life can heal. That life can subdue.
Amen.
If you have no hope on others, I'm afraid the Lord will have no hope on you. Don't ever have no hope on others. The reason that brother is, you think he's no hope is because you're hopeless. Why don't you minister some life to him? Right, then something will issue
Amen.
Out of that kind of enjoyment of the triune God.
Amen.
Right, you will see the saints next to you. My, just change. They're healed. The fever comes down. Oh, some people sure have a fever. Oh, the fever for basketball, fever for football. Fever for movies or whatever. Every one of us have some kind of fever. Right? You know how to bring down fever? The Lord did. You remember Peter's mother-in-law? The Lord touched her, lift her up, her fever was gone. Right? Brother Jose? You have to heal people's fever.
Amen.
First of all, our fever needs to be healed first. Right? If you are full of fever, you can't help anyone. Right? So may the Lord heal us of our own fever, right?
Amen.
Where we are feverish for nothing but the Lord himself.
Amen.
Right? Then, Brother Jose, that young brother is feverish for NBA. The next one to him is fever for MBA. They both have fever. Brother Jose, you better go heal him. It's not like the Pentecostal. Go lay hands on him. Ugh. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Right? You have to take them out.
To eat.
To eat, right. Yeah. Right. But don't just eat. Right? Right. When you go, when they eat, you have to sing some hymns with it. Right? you have to have some short prayer, not too long. Too long, you scare off the young brothers. Every time Brother Jose prays, I fall asleep. Why? He prays 10 minutes. Right? Take him out to eat. Sing some hymns with him. Right? Pray with him a little. Right? Share some experience of yours with him. You see, that NBA fever will come down.
Amen.
The one next to him, the MBA fever, right, will come down.
Amen.
Some people love money. Oh, that's a fever. Right? So, brothers, these messages are very practical.
Amen.
Right? There must be issues to what we do. And that issue is the issue of the dispensing of the triune God.
Amen.
Right? And the dispensing of the triune God is accomplished through the transmission, right, of the power that is already within you. You don't need to ask for it, right? Pentecostal people ask for the great power, not knowing that all the great power you need is already in the Christ that is within your spirit. You just need to experience it. You need to enjoy it. You need to be healed by it. You need to be resurrected by it. And then you go transmit. Right? Not even conscientiously. Not even consciously. You just go take the brothers out to have something to eat. Right? And in the process, you transmit something of the great power to them. Right? Praise the Lord. The Christ that is within us is so rich. Right? And the Christ within us is so experienceable. So now let's read Message 3. Let's go to Roman numeral 1. Let's read E and F. Okay? Message 3, E and F. Okay? The all-inclusive
Christ dwells in us as our hope of glory.
1 and 2. Two.
The Christ who entrusts us is the all-inclusive Christ, the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the body, and the embodiment of the fullness of God.
Okay, F 1 and 2. The all-inclusive Christ is our life, the expression our life. It's a strong indication that we are to experience the all-inclusive Christ. Two. Right. Here it talks about Christ, the all-inclusive Christ, can be experienced, enjoyed, and partaken of by us in our spirit. Right? We're one with him in a very subjective way.
Amen.
Brothers, when Brother Lee speaks sometimes, when we go to Colossians, some of us get the wrong impression that this Christ is only objective. No question that our Christ is objectively excellent. Meaning that you like it, you don't like it, you know it, you don't know it, doesn't matter. Objectively, he is excellent, right? Objectively, he is rich, he is wonderful. How you feel, you don't feel, doesn't matter. He is still excellent, wonderful, right? Enjoyable, right?
Amen.
However, such a one must be experienced by us.
Amen.
Right, young brothers? You can experience Christ.
Amen.
You know, I was in a part of the world that probably most of you have never been. You know a city called Tbilisi? It's in Georgia, not Georgia, Atlanta. You were there, good. There's a wonderful church there, sister. Yeah. Right. Wonderful church, right? So I was there talking to the young brothers and sisters. They asked me to meet with the young people. I haven't met with young people for I don't know how long. I go to a training center. I mean, I teach in the training classes, but apart from that, I don't see young people anymore. You know, 30 years ago, I served in the young people, right, John? So what did I tell the young people? I considered before the Lord, and I told them something. I said, brothers, young sisters, I experience basically everything I need to experience before I was 30. I learn all the truths, the basically, fundamentally, all the truth before I was 30. Then what do you do thereafter? Let me answer that question first and then come back to the below 30, okay? I said, between I was 30 and 60, that was the time when the Lord deepens, enriches everything that I have learned before I was 30. You follow me? Meaning that all the truth you should learn, all the experiences of Christ that you need, the basic ones, should be and can be experienced before you are 30. That's exactly what happened to the Lord, you know. He starts serving when he was 30, right? And in the Old Testament, the priests begin to serve when they're 30. Right? So it's not without biblical basis. But that's happened to be my experience. Since I was 60 till I was 30, sitting in the feet of the older brothers, you learn all the basic truth. And in the basic experiences of the divine life, basically I learned it before I was 30. Of course, that doesn't mean that you're over, you're done, you're finished. No. Oh, far from it, right? But worry about it after you're 30, right? There's much more riches, much depth and height to be reached after you're 30. But I'm so happy that there's so many young sisters and brothers here that are below 30. Before you're 30, learn all the necessary truths. If you read the life study, one message a day, there's a total of 1984. Right? You read one a day, you'll finish it in 5 years. That's how many life study messages. You divide it by 365.25, you get to something like 5 years, 4 months, plus a few days. X days. So, if you are already 24, I suggest you start right away. You can still finish it before you are 30. Right? You can. Young brothers, you should have an ambition before the Lord. Don't have an ambition to be an elder and this and that, all those crazy things. But you should have an ambition to read all the life study messages before you are 30. Right? Then you will have a good foundation. Then learn to experience the Christ that is within you. I'm pretty sure if you read the life study one a day, the Lord will speak within you all the time.
Amen.
The Lord will speak into you as you read, and the Spirit will lead you into all the subjective experiences of Christ. Right? Then, for the next 30 years, the Lord will bring you through another phase where the Lord will enrich you. The Lord will deepen His work within you. And the Lord will bring you to greater heights. Right? That maybe by the time you are 60, you'll begin to be useful to the Lord. Brother Lee says what? Brother Lee says you begin to be useful 70 or 80, I forgot.
75.
80? Well, you're just beginning, Brother Jim. Brother Bill, you have to work for another 2 more years. Well, anyway, whatever it is, right, it's good to start when you're young. Right? Exercise your spirit as you read. Then the Lord will speak to you much within. Then you need to fellowship. Because I'm pretty sure you will encounter all kinds of situations in your experience of the Lord. Right? You need to go to Brother Ken, Brother Marty, Brother Jose. You need to go to some brothers, right, to fellowship. They will help you. They will adjust you a little, right? They will lead you, guide you to the right path, right? Then, hopefully, before you are 30, you will have experienced all the fundamental basic experiences of life that is necessary for the rest of your life. Shall we do that? I remember in the 1970s, you brothers remember, John, Brother Lee used to love some of the hymns. That is in the English hymn book around 531 to whatever, 542 or 543 or something like that. Those hymns really used to, I remember, those were the most sung hymns in the 60s and 70s. Those hymns are on what? They're all on the subjective experience of Christ. There's another hymn that we didn't sing today. It's 539 that the brothers ministering in Taiwan asked us to sing. 539 is right in the middle of that, right? Experience the Lord in a subjective way. Then we'll be constituted, unbeknown to us, we'll be constituted with Christ, right? Then we will gradually have Christ as our unique standard. Without trying, Christ become the standard with which we measure everything. We evaluate everything. We esteem everything, right? You know, there's one thing I often think is so subtle. And that is not just young brothers, even older brothers and sisters. We all have the same problem. We all so easily think that a kind of good behavior or a kind of exercise of the gift. Somebody speaks, oh, that young brother, he really speaks well. Oh, what a good brother. Oh, speaking well makes him a good brother? Then some people are born that way. Right? What does that mean? That means the standard with which you measure is not Christ. The standard with which you measure is how good that brother speaks or how good that sister behaves. Right? You'll be deceived. You'll be deluded. Right? Why? Because you're not rooted in Christ. Right? If you're rooted in Christ, then Christ will become the measure. We become the standard of everything that we look. Right? We'll assess everything according to the Christ within. The Christ that we have experienced, the Christ that we have learned, the Christ that we have received with the help of the ministry, and through our experience, will become the standard within us. Only so will we be saved from being deluded, right? Well, maybe I should stop. Tomorrow morning we have another meeting. But anyway, I just hope that, brothers and sisters, that the Lord will save his recovery from just another kind of humdrum church life, right? We need the great power to be transmitted all the time, such that there will be some issue, which is the body of Christ, the fullness of the one that fills all in all. Shall we have some prayer 2 by 2? And then we have some sharing. Huh?